The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. I want to begin at the first chapter of Revelation. I've been preaching for about a month or so about our message, about explaining what's between now and eternity. What's between now and the time? At least 25 or 30 or 40 things have come up that are discrete, prophesied in the Old Testament, and then have come to pass in the New Testament. So, it's important to know, what is it that at the end of the first century, that God the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, decided to reveal his Son? That God decided, we already knew him as Savior. We already knew that he was a Savior. And now he wanted to reveal him as not only our Lord, we already knew that he was our Lord technically, but now he's illustrating that the next thing is going to happen is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's been in heaven for 70 years. He's been in heaven 70 years. It's a long time. And now God is revealing his Son forever, as not only Lord, but also as bridegroom. So the Lordship of Christ is what you have to understand in the book of Revelation. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. What is his message as Lord? He's already been the Lord when he was on the earth, but you don't know him yet as Lord. Not the one with white hair. Not the one with Ancient of Days. So he's revealing his Son because he knows the church for the next 2,000 years, right up until today, for the next 2,000 years is going to have to see him not as Savior who saves you, but as Lord who points out your sin. Why does he do that? Why does God want people to obey his law when he just simply criticized the Jewish people for using his law legalistically? Now, all of a sudden, he's saying, but I want you, of all the people on earth, I want you Gentiles to practice the law. But it's not the same. The law after the gospel is different than the law before the gospel. The law after the gospel is different than the law before the gospel. The law after the gospel is you're a branch in a vine that bears the fruit which you did not produce. You are a branch, and in that branch, if there's any sin in you, you do not go to heaven. You do not. You cannot. So if there's even one sin in us, even one sin, then that sin must be confessed, and it must be then no more a part of our life. And so we have to confess that sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Now, the cleansing is different than the forgiveness. When he forgives you your sin, that means you sinned as Savior, and now he has forgiven you. But to cleanse you is actually to clean up any sin that is left. It's like a battle. And in the battle, you've already won the war, but you haven't yet mopped up all the enemy. You've already won the war. Jesus has won the war. He's made a public display of the enemies as king. But he's not yet on earth delivering his kingdom. He's not yet, unless you mean by that, you and I. We're his actual kingdom. And he's building us now as Lord Jesus, not as the Lamb of God, but as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And lords do not act like lambs. Lambs die for you, but lords command you because you're his disciple. You're his disciple. So discipleship is what the book of Revelation is all about. It's not just what Paul's preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's also about what's going to happen from here on out for the next 1,000 years and more. For the next 1,000 years and more. So the worlds to come, the worlds plural to come, are those things that pertain to Jesus's resurrection. This is powerful. This is powerful. I not only shared with you that Jesus died in 30 AD. Don't worry about the dates. But 38 AD, it's one of the dates that is used often. In 30 AD, now 70 years later, he's finally decided to write a letter. This is not his letter. This is the Father's letter about the Son to you personally. This is powerful. This is God, the Father, teaching you about the Son, whom you know as Savior. And you also know he's Lord. But the lordship didn't go very far, because before he even ascended the throne, he was already dead. And the scripture says way back in Daniel that the 70th week will be broken in two. The 70th week, I don't know that anyone else preaches this, but I preach it, is broken in two, that in the midweek, the Messiah will be cut off by the Lord right at the moment of death, and you will see him no more, except the 40 days and then the 10 days waiting. So this is powerful. Yahoo! God is good. Sure. Anywhere. All right. So what's left between now and eternity? What's left between now and eternity? And I did tell you from the first week of this new year that I would be teaching on this in a way that has not been taught before. Not any scholar that I know does not teach what I'm teaching, even though they understand the general framework of it. So I'm going to share things that you haven't heard before. And one of those things that you haven't heard before is that Jesus, in the midweek, the 70th week of Daniel, in the midweek, he divided that, God divided that, and now he's dead right at the moment of his accession. Right at the moment when he was about to ascend the throne and inaugurate his kingdom, he's cut off. He's cut off. He's now you want to know about him. And so the Father, in about 96 A.D., about 96 A.D., the Father is revealing the Son as not only Savior, but more importantly as Lord. Saviors do not do what lords do. Saviors never forgive you. They never, say, oh, it's okay, come on to heaven. No, they don't do that. Saviors command you and...
Lords.
What am I saying? Did I savior?
Yeah.
Lord? Mix them up. Yeah, right. Forgive me.
Forget it.
The lords are the ones that point out the sin in the churches over the seven ages of the churches. We're now in the last one. We're now in the last one, Laodicea. We are absolutely, positively in the age of Laodicea. That means the Antichrist is right around the corner. Next thing on the agenda. Next thing on the agenda is the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist is almost easy to identify today, as the Muslim nations that are gearing up to kind of overthrow the Jews and so on. I don't care whether it's them or somebody else. But somebody is going to be that the Lord's Antichrist. Anti doesn't mean so much against as it means in the place of. So Antichrist is not so much, even though he's against Jesus, he's an Antichrist. He's not a Christ at all. He's just a fake. He's just simply a liar. And before they plug in their lawless kingdom, remember he's the lawless one. He has several titles. But one of his titles, son of perdition, all these kind of things. This Satan's creation, the beast, and the false prophet. The false prophet is like Muhammad. Completely a false prophet. And the Bible says this book ends in chapter 22. It ends saying that an antichrist will come, not an antichrist, the antichrist. He will come and he will establish, no, it doesn't say that. It says he will attempt to establish his kingdom. And it won't be that. It won't happen. It'll never happen. Your dollar bill explains it fully. Your dollar bill explains it fully on the back of your dollar bill. You'll see a pyramid, unfinished, no cap on it. No cap on the top. That is the Tower of Babel never being finished throughout all the kingdoms of this world. So Egypt was the first one after Babel, and then the next one was the Assyrians, and the next one was then the Persians, and the next one was Babylon, Persia, and then the Greeks. Number five, and that'll come up in the book of Revelation. You'll see number five. It says, five are fallen. That's the one. The Greeks are fallen. Now Rome is in power. That's number six. And there aren't any more. There aren't any more. There's only six kingdoms. Only six. Six is the number of man. So it's 666. Because the sixth kingdom is diverse from all the other kingdoms that ever have existed. Why? It's the last one. We are now in the day of the New World Order. You've heard it. You've heard all of the presidents say it in the last umpteen years. They've said the New World Order, as though there were a New World Order. They're just simply talking about the Tower of Babel being restored. You didn't know that. I'm telling you, the Tower of Babel, which never got finished, is now about to be finished with modern technology. With all of the skills and all of the powers that we have, we're able to do signs and wonders and all kinds of an illusion. The computer is an illusion. The computer tells you things that aren't necessarily true. The computer is one of those things that all the kids are, you know, and they're all communicating with one another without knowing each other. They're communicating to thousands of friends, and they really don't know each other except as acquaintances. I'd like to be on Pastor Jim's thing. You know, he doesn't have one, well, his wife has one. So they want to be in on everything that we do with. It's fun. It's great. It doesn't hurt a thing. But I'm telling you, all of that the enemy hath done is not going to work out to our disfavor. All that, everything the enemy has done works out to our victory.
Amen.
To our victory. Now, I'm going to say something weird. I always say weird stuff. The fact that the other party wants to destroy the party in power right now, do not be worried about it. Do not be worried about it. It's simply something that they want to catch him on this and catch him on that and so on and so forth. I've heard it all. So The fact that that's happened has nothing to do with God's plan. Trump is not, you know, a perfect person. He's not. He's not even close. He's not even mature. But it's okay. So don't think that he's God's man. He is God's man because God put him there. But he's not God's man in the sense that, you know, he's perfect and holy and so on. He's just a person. He is not the main event. Today, he is the main event on the earth. He is the main event. I don't care what program you watch, bad or good, it's always Trump, 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 Trump. You know, it all. So he's the one that makes decisions, and he's the one that makes them swift, and he's a decision maker. He's just a decision maker. And he's great. He's awesome. I love him, but I don't pay attention to him at all. Not at all. Because he isn't the main event. Jesus is.
Amen.
Jesus now is ruling, and God the Father, through having a revelation. This book is called The Revelation, Apocalypsis. Apocalypsis, do you know what it means? Apocalypsis means that everything that God is doing is a secret. Everything that God is doing is a secret. It's the mystery of righteousness. This is it. This is the whole mystery of righteousness. Here it is. Now, the mystery of righteousness is opposed to the mystery of iniquity. Two camps. Two camps. They're each fighting against one another. Now, the apocalypse is to take the bark off the tree so you can see exactly the naked tree without the bark on it. The apocalypse is tearing away the cover that covers you or that covers anything. The blood covering covers us. That's the covering. Now, it's all going to be pulled off, and in short time. Let's say the Antichrist reigns today. Let's say he's sitting in Jerusalem. That's where he'll sit. And he will be in the temple. It's not even yet built. So he can't be there yet. So there's a period of time right now. While they're busy doing that, and it's going to take more than Trump to build it, he won't build it. His extensive excursions into Russia and into all the places that they say he's doing things, he's not. He's not. And so don't worry about what politically is happening right now. Politically, what's happening is completely in line with God's program to bring about the kingdom of God, not man's kingdom. And he's not even trying to build man's kingdom. He's just trying to get it back to where it was, you know, heading and kind of clean it up. So forget politics, forget society, all divided, forget the economic systems and all those things. Nonsense. They're not the issue. We are the issue. We are the center of God's place. How many know that God said to you, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her? I know it says in the King James, he, but it could be he, her, or a neuter. But it's her. In other words, it can be it if it's the church, as long as you understand church in the wrong way. But church is it, us. We're the church. If we leave this building, this is not a church. This is just another built. It's just another building that people can meet in. So the minute we're done using what God hath given us in this world, it's no longer ours. It's no longer holy. The holiness disappears. The minute we leave this place, the mice run out and do everything they do. So God is actually arranging us to be part of his return, second return, the second time he returns, just around the corner, 1260 days hence. 1260 days hence. He's about to do things, and I believe that God has shown me clearly throughout the scriptures. You know, I read them 4 or 5 hours a day, at least, sometimes 7 and 8. But I read them all the time because all of these things are not mysterious to people of God. Now, I don't know if you read the Bible. If you don't read it, that's okay. I'll try to read it for you. But really, you have to read it on your own if you want to get anything out of what I say. If you don't have your own journey, and what I say is interesting, but hardly worth it. And the lukewarm church today, which is the Laodicean church, it's lukewarm, it will not be able to be ready when Jesus comes back. Did you hear what I just said? So there's 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The wise ones will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not speaking about denominations and all that stuff. I'm speaking about filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning they went daily to the shambles. They went daily to the place where you buy oil. And they bought their oil so that they had oil in their lamp and in vessels. And they kept those vessels ready so that when the midnight cry came, the Lord is coming right now. Right now. You know what the signal is for the Lord coming back? Does anyone know? Well, a trumpet will sound. But you know what the signal is? That will be the signal that he's coming. But what is the signal for that signal? It's the two witnesses in the book of Revelation that are witnessing inside the camp. They're inside Jerusalem. They're there to tell about all the things that the enemy is doing during their whole time. So the rapture is out. Did you hear what I just said? The rapture is out as far as you're concerned, because rapture means pre-trib or post-trib or after-trib. It doesn't mean any of that. It means pre-wrath. Rapture means pre-wrath. You will never go through the wrath. Do you understand that? The wrath is never for the children of God. You are the children of God. But the wise virgins will not be ready. They've been born again. They're born again. They're filled with the Spirit.
Foolish.
Did I mess up?
Yeah.
Foolish.
What did I say?
The foolish virgins will not be ready.
The foolish virgins. I just speak willy-nilly. And so the foolish virgins will not be ready when Lord comes back. But they will be... The thing about a foolish virgin is someone that does not go to the shambles every day to buy their vessel so that their vessel is filled. Not only the lamp is filled, but that runs out within a half an hour, an hour. And now it's empty. And you don't have a vessel to fill it up. So the wise ones had it. They had their vessels all full and they were ready to go forth. And they, hey, could you wait a minute? Could we borrow some of that? You know, not so. Because they were not... This is what's interesting about the foolish virgins. They were not yet in love with Jesus. They had been born again. They're Christians. They're real Christians. I'm not saying they're fake. They're real. But they never bothered to go on. They're half in the world, half in the Lord. And they goof off during the day and are busy with worldly things. So most Christians, I'm not even criticizing. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just simply saying the foolish ones will not be ready when the Lord returns. And then when they're ready, you know, they go off to the shambles and then return. Oh, the wedding is over. And he opens the door. He opens the door and says, if you had said to me, Savior, I probably would have saved you. But you said, Lord, Lord. But you know that Jesus said, unless you say, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you, I'm telling you all about your sins. All these 7 churches, I'm telling you about the 2,000-year reign between the time that he left and the time that he's coming back. He will not come back until the 1260 days of the Antichrist has its chance, has its moment in glory to frustrate the kingdom of God. And there's going to be another one. Another one after the millennium. Then those powers on earth, the beast and the false prophet, they will be already in the lake of fire. They'll be already there. But Satan is still on the loose. And he's saying, you know, this could be my last chance. It is his last chance. And his last chance will be to come up into heaven, where all of us are. All of us are. All the wise virgins. We're all up in heaven. And we'll surround the camp, up in the air. I'll prove this later. But up in the air, and that's when you'll realize, gosh, we're surrounded. The enemy, Satan, as soon as he was loosed, he had the woman at the bottom that was over the lake of fire. How you doing? He just closes it up. Then the woman at the top opens it up so that Satan can fly out. He didn't go into the lake of fire for 1,000 years. So he was the only one left. And this is Satan's beauty. This is Satan's whole scheme, is to build that Tower of Babel. And they're racing us toward the wall. See which one can get there. And so all of the people that will be utilized in this affair will be completely deceived that you'll never finish that pyramid. That pyramid, just like Babylon, will never, ever, ever, ever be finished. You remember Babylon? Do y'all remember Babylon? It says in the Bible, Babylon, Babylon the Great. And then it says, she will never be built again. It'll never be built. It can't be built. We even have the bricks today in Iran. We have the bricks. And in that brick, Nebuchadnezzar has his name written. And it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, made this brick. Now, he didn't make it. But what it meant is the thousands and thousands and thousands that built that 20 stories high building, 200 feet high. And as wide as this room is probably, I don't know, about 8 chariots can ride on the top side. It's an 80-mile perimeter. So you go 40, 40, 40, and 40. It's not literally that, but roughly speaking. And that covers, and he was so proud of that. I built this. I mean, he was just up on the top all by himself, and just kind of proud of himself. God built this. He was like Trump. He was like Trump. I built this thing. I made this thing. So don't be surprised. But at any rate, God is having fun upstairs because he's wanting to reveal to us that I want you to see sixfold things. Okay. The Father is going to reveal the Son. The Father is going to reveal the Son. Okay. So the Father wants to reveal that the Son right now is busy. And he's pointing out all the sins to all those 7 churches. You know, Ephesus and then Smyrna and then, you know, all those things. And I'm going to go through them. I'll go through each of those churches and show you where they are and what they represent. And it's the chief sin in that era in the last 2,000 years. Last 2,000 years, the chief thing in each era was something really important to the church that Jesus pointed out. This one has the Jezebel spirit. This one has this. This one has that. This one is, you know, Laodicea. This is all of them. But now we're in the last one. And he's going to point these things out. And so God the Father wants to reveal his Son. And so he's using an angel to reach John, who will then write it for us, who then will make a decision. I'm going to live a holy life. I am going to live a holy life from this moment on. How many of you have decided, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have decided to live a holy life from now on, as much as you understand, and I'm trying to teach you the whole thing that we're heading for so that you're going to be ready. Because you don't go to heaven just because you're a Christian. Just because you're chair four. Just because you're chair four, you don't go to Christian, to heaven. This chair is not enough to make you go to heaven. This chair is not enough to make you go to heaven. Only this chair is enough for you to be a wise virgin. The foolish virgins are here. They never even wanted to suffer. I don't want to do that. Okay, so they didn't. They placated both sides. I want to be worldly enough that I'm not super Christian, and I want to be super Christian enough that I'm not really worldly. They kind of, you know, even it out so that I don't want to go too far. Ooh, that fire, I don't want that. Okay, so that they don't want, unless you suffer with him, you will not be glorified. Unless you suffer with him, you won't be glorified. So this chair is the only one that Jesus is coming back for, the first fruits of the kingdom of God. This is what he's after right now. And the last church, isn't this interesting, that the last church is so polluted. It's so polluted. Why? Because today, what you see on television, every day, you're seeing it every day. There's all these gangs and groups and lawless groups that are out there to destroy Trump at all costs. I mean, they're like myopic. They can't handle it. It's like, whoa, we got to destroy this guy. I'm sure he has things in the Caribbean. I'm sure he has, you know, I'm sure that he did this and he did that and so on and so forth. Well, he's not even paying attention to all that stuff. But they think they have him. And I'm just telling you right now, it's a supernatural thing, not meaning politics is. But I'm saying to you, this is something incredible. We've experienced for the last 8 years, stupid.
All right.
I'm not meaning people are stupid. I'm not meaning people are stupid. I'm meaning they believe in what they believe in. And it's okay with me. But it's not the truth. I don't care what it is. It's not the truth that is going to lead us to heaven. And this is the only way you can make a perfect person. 4, 5, 6. It's the only way. Only lovers are the ones he's coming back for. Those that love him with all their heart and soul and strength, who've gone through the furnace, the fire, the chastening of the Lord, who are born again. So they're born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit.
Amen.
And they're ready. And I want you, I want all of you to be ready for that day. Now, I don't care. I don't really care what anybody decides. That's up to you and God. But if you don't do that, if you only go this far and you don't go further, then you're like a foolish virgin. You're virgin. You're born again. But you didn't want to suffer with him and identify yourself with him so much that you're despised in this world. You know the world doesn't love you. You know the world doesn't love you. And if ever America were a Christian nation, which it wasn't, but if ever the world today in America was a Christian nation, it's not now. And it's not going to be that way. I'm sorry. The rest is grim. If you're looking for, you know, it'll be heaven on earth. Now I know already $12 billion have been removed in the last few weeks since he became president. Are you aware of that?
$12 billion for what?
Dollars.
For what?
I mean, trillion. I didn't mean...
From what?
Right. Just already the process of jobs and all the stuff that he's promised is already being swallowed up. And so you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You can see this thing could actually be done. It's like impossible, but he's doing it. He's swallowing up the debt. He's swallowing up the debt, and so on and so forth. Anyway, I'm just pointing out. So God is doing something now just for you, just for you, just for you, just for you. I don't know if you know how important you are.
Amen.
How important you are. I mean, it's like a king's daughter. Yes. So it's something special that God wants you all to be ready. And my only job is humble. Humble, meaning not that I'm humble, meaning that God is. That God is wanting to fulfill his program, and you're part of it. I will build my church. Gates of hell will not prevail against her. Not. So God is wanting you then to understand this program here. You began as a sinner. How many here began as a sinner? Right. How many here skipped over number two and then immediately repented? Very few. But anyway, a few. But most people are moral here. Most people are moral here. As though morality were Christianity. As though being moral is being Christian. Being nice, being, a sweet girl and sweet guy and so on and so forth. It's nonsense. There's nobody sweet. So this one is an illusion. But anyway, regardless of many people are, and the Jewish people are here. The Jewish people are right here. They're still trying to keep Torah. It's never been done. It'll never be done. And it cannot be done. And the book of Revelation says, nothing is made perfect under the law. Well, that's kind of like nothing. Kind of like nothing is nothing. If nothing can be made perfect, you do well to skip this. But if you didn't skip it, no problem. Because you can still repent and just start right here and then believe and then, not only that, to be a disciple and then to be a lover. This is the ultimate thing that he's coming back for. This is the way you make a perfect man. This is the new man in Christ, perfect man, spirit, soul, body. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies, etc., etc., etc. So, God is now preparing you for his return, and when you return to be part of the bridal throne, to be at part of the marriage supper, we ain't even talking about that right now. Because when Jesus comes back, his first mission is not to do away with the bad guys. The first mission is to marry his bride.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's not even worried about the neighborhood. He's not worried about the neighborhood. Hey, don't build one there. There's bad people. Bad people. He's not worried about it. When he comes back, he has all the fire, all the fury of the Lion of Judah. And he's powerful. And so he is going to exalt Christians who are ready. Now, how many of you are ready?
Amen.
How many of you are ready?
Amen.
Amen. No, it's powerful. So being powerful means I believe Jesus.
Amen.
I believe Jesus. That's all. That's all. That's all. That's all. You believe Jesus. You just believe Jesus. That's nothing. I didn't even do anything. I believe Jesus.
That's right.
I believe Jesus is my righteousness.
Amen.
I believe that God said to his son, I want you to go downstairs and I want you to be the righteousness for Jim Borcher, for so and so and so and so on. I want you to be everybody's righteousness. I mean everybody. I mean pay for everybody. So that everyone is capable today of not being a lawless person. Everyone is capable today of not being a lawless person. Now, you can't do it perfectly, like to your view, but you can do it perfectly like your heart is pure and your soul is being purified and your spirit is the last thing. The last thing is when you love your neighbor as yourself. This one right here is, I believe that Jesus, and I'm thanking him, I'm praising him, I'm worshiping him. I believe that Jesus loves me. This I know.
Amen.
For the Bible tells me so. Okay. Now, you're going to go through the fire to prove that. And And as you go through the fire, you're giving God all the praise.
Amen.
While you're going through the trouble, you're not, You don't do it like the, you say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's powerful.
Hallelujah.
Now, I don't say we're there today. We're not there today.
Hallelujah.
But, yeah, right. Hallelujah. Because while you go through, you realize, I want to be holy.
Amen.
I want to be holy like God is holy. You remember he said, be ye holy as I am holy. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. Tom, T-A-M. That perfection is something God wants, that you be just like him. Because you can't go to heaven without that. And so the only way you can arrive here is to pass through the fire. You have to pass through the fire. Everybody passes through the fire. Everybody.
Amen.
So God has wanting you, and I'm not even giving you details. I'm just giving you all that's between now and then. I spoke about the enemy. Remember, Satan was the one for 1,000 years locked in the pit. It's the pit, the bottomless pit. You remember I told you? It has the lady at the bottom that opens it up for Satan when he comes back. Because after this foray, he's going to come back and then drop right into the lake of fire. Boom. Forever and ever. Now, prior to that, the woman at the... Open it up. Woman at the bottom. Open it up. Boom. He went right in. But his trick is to deceive the nations one more time. One more time. Now, he's the Antichrist is 1,260 days, period. It can't be less and can't be more. Now, you'll all know that. The lukewarm church will not know that. They'll maybe even hear it, but they won't be quickened by it. If they were, they'll repent. If they were, they'll repent because they realize, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Oh, you can get ready. Just believe in Jesus. Well, how do you do? No, you don't. No, you don't, because you didn't remember the sin he was showing you? Well, yeah, I haven't gotten rid of that, but I was kind of saving it. No, don't save it. Get rid of all your sins right now.
Amen.
How many know that God is good, God is good, God is good? You remember it says in the Old Testament, God is good. It says the mercy of the Lord is forever. It's forever. So the thing about God that you know about is he's good. I mean, the one thing you have in this universe is that you have a God that is good.
Amen.
Not a God that's evil or wants payments or wants sacrifices or wants offerings. You don't have a God like that. You have a God that doesn't want you to work. He doesn't want anything from you. He doesn't want you to offer him anything. He's offered everything. He's offered Jesus. Now, this is why the revelation of Jesus is so important in this book. Because he's going to establish that for the last 2,000 years, this church has been growing, but very few are in this seat. Very few are there because they didn't want to go through that one. They didn't want to go through that one. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. If they would say, Pastor, could we suffer like you? I don't know if you can laugh like I do, but, you know, you're welcome to. But I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Want to play it safe? Play it safe. And so I say to all Christians, just be lukewarm. Just be lukewarm. You think you're going to get in. I'm telling you, you won't. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. The wise virgins will not make it that-a-way. They're going to make it the same way we made it, which is you have to believe in Jesus, and then you have to then go through the furnace and the affliction and all that kind of stuff and be hated and this, all this stuff. All this stuff Jesus is talking about. You want to be hated. In other words, hated doesn't mean hated. Hated means they don't like you because you're happy. No. It's one of the things that they don't like about you. You aren't happy. You aren't happy, you know. Getting an elevator. Hey, hallelujah. You know. And you bother people. And they don't want you to be that radical and that weird. They want you to just be calm and, you know, be like everybody else. And they're actually offended by your joy. They can't believe you can be joyful in this world. Mm-hmm. But we're having a ball. I mean, we are, and we're not even trying to. We're just having a ball because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Over. That's it. Anyway, so all of this is set up to bring you to this, because this is the chair we're going to sit on during the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord. It's one of those discrete things. For 1,000 years, Jesus Christ will be this way. Father in heaven, seventh heaven. Father in heaven, seventh heaven. You on earth, not. You on earth, not. You'll be during the millennium when he comes back to marry his bride and then to clean up everything else and take care of all that stuff and resurrect those guys and so on. Then he, for 1,000 years, is ruling and reigning during that time. And that's this time when we are the first fruits of the first fruit. Jesus is the first fruits from the dead. Jesus is the first fruits from the dead. Does that mean he's the only one that was raised up? No, it doesn't mean that. It means he's the first one that came out of the realm of the dead, Hades. Hades. He came out of the realm of the dead, and now he's alive forevermore. Because he has life in himself. He has Zoe. Zoe is Zoe, Z-O-E. It means you have eternal life coursing through here and here and here. That's what makes you go this way. You want to be a grown-up person so that you are then ready to bridally rule. So here's how it works. God in highest heaven, and then you up in the air, not on the earth. Because why are you up in the air? And his throne is up there. His throne is up there. I'll explain it later. But his throne is up there. And he's now already judging the nations for 1,000 years. And everybody below him, which is the Jewish people. Did you know that you will soon be ruling over the Jewish people on the face of the earth? And did you know that Jewish people will be with you up in the air? That not all Jews are Jews. Not all Jews are Jews. And so some who are just, you know, performing, they're not really in a relationship with Jesus Christ, in love with him. They just want their land back or whatever. So, not all Jews are Jews. I'm not explaining it fully. I'm just making it clear. That we will then be ruling over, if the Father up in heaven says something, then Jesus and his bride, we're the bride. We're not the bride now. We're not the bride now. We're betrothed now. We're not the bride. But someday, we'll be ruling over underneath us on the earth in Jerusalem, on the earth in Jerusalem. They'll be sitting in the temple, and the man down there will be the Antichrist, and the false prophet will be right there with him. And they will then be ruling the world, and the world will behave itself. That is, the Gentile nations will be under the Jewish nation. You don't know this is in the Old Testament. You don't know this is in the Old Testament and New Testament, because it's hardly mentioned in the New Testament. I'm just mentioning it to you that it's part of what we do for 1,000 years. Whenever the Father says something, the Son will say something, and whatever he does, we do. You know, whatever he does, it's easy. Because we just look at Jesus, whatever he does, we does. And so, we will be doing the will of God on earth. In other words, down here, you are not doing the will of God all the time. But up there, you will be. You will be the first fruits. And that first fruits is, let me say, you don't lose a thing during that time. You will be always the first fruits from then on. Now, could others be accreted? Could others, like the foolish virgins, could they be accreted to you? Could they be added to you? Perhaps. We'll talk about that later. But I just want you to know, this picture And after this is chair 8. I haven't even drawn chair 8. I'll do it next time. I'll draw chair 8 because chair 8 is eternity. But before there is an eternity, the devil has to surround the camp of the righteous to destroy them one last time. And then he fails. Because God in heaven will breathe out of heaven on the earth and swallow them up 1 hour. 1 hour. They'll be swallowed up. So that's the end of them. Then the devil goes back. Both ones have the thing open, went straight in down, and now he's with the false prophet and the beast. He's with the beast. Now, that's the end of it. They will never, ever rule again. This is not right around the corner. All you have to do is wait 1,000 years plus 1,260 days, and that is right around the corner. Do you understand that I'm telling you things now because I'm old and I may die? And that's a happy day. That's a happy day. How do you know that my death won't be joyous? How do you know that? It will be. He'll be happy. Just kick me aside and move on. Because it's just nothing. It's nothing, nothing, nothing. Because I never did anything, and I ain't doing it now. I'm not doing it. I let Jesus do everything. Jesus loves to do everything. He loves to do everything. You know, you're not really doing all these special things. You're just a branch. You're just a branch in his vine, which produced those fruit, which is his fruit. He's the only one that's good. And the only reason we're good is you're derivatively good. You are derivatively, you're a derivative. A derivative in commercial terms is something derives from something else. Well, he's the one that has life in himself, as the Father has life in himself. And now you have life in yourself, but derivatively. In other words, you're totally dependent on the relationship, not the performance. Amen. The relationship, not the performance. So the only reason you have life in yourself is because Jesus Christ is in you. And you're one. You're one. He's now your bride. And so we're going to dig into all of that. So I want you to know that as we'll be looking through every chapter here, we'll be looking through each one to see what truths are in the Old Testament and what truths are in the New Testament, and there are none. Everything has been predicted. Everything has been predicted in the Old Testament. It's not even in the New Testament. It's in the New Testament that it's revealed, but it's not in the New Testament that it's new. So everything in the New Testament is old. And everything that's old has been revealed through Jesus Christ, and now you're going to see mysteries that you haven't seen before because you don't even know about them. And I would say most of the preaching, I'd say all of it, but I'd say most of the preaching you are about to hear will not be accurate because God, I don't want to say this, but God, he wants to surprise you. And so something has happened this year. Now. Remember, I've told you that before. I was wrong. So forget that. I was almost right, but completely wrong. I mean, no, you can be wrong and still be right. But anyway, my point is that God is about to do things. And I believe this is the time. I don't mean this is the Antichrist thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about building up toward that Antichrist. And so that Antichrist is get everybody ready. And so now my mission is to separate the sheep from the goats. Okay? So to separate the wise from the foolish. To separate and on and on, all kinds of things, so that everything is in order for him to come back and choose his bride, and he's only coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such blemish or stain or anything There's no sin in the church he's coming back for.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Because you didn't do it. The reason you are ready, because you aren't ready.
Yeah.
The reason you're ready, because you realize, I'm not ready. God, do it. Do it. And so God will do it. How many know that he can do supernatural things?
Thank you.
On the earth. So supernatural things is not you heard somebody else testify it, but you didn't experience it yourself. The reason this message is given about the Father, about the Son, to the angel, to John, to us, who then repent, that's why. That's what it's all about. That little train of things, because what he's sharing is, this is what he's sharing, is Jesus Christ is not only Savior of the church, he's now Lord of the church, and he's now practicing. He's now in heaven practicing being a Lord, and he's among the seven, they call these lampstands. There's no candlestick. So there's no candlestick in the New Testament. That word candle is a different word. This is lampstand. And he's now saying to Ephesus, you've forgotten your first love. You've forgotten this, and you've forgotten that, and you've forgotten this, and much of it is Catholic. Much of it is Catholic, and you'll see that over 1,000 years is full of Catholic, and that only during the 16th century that was brought about, and that was Philadelphia Church. That was Philadelphia Church. And it began in 1516, last year. That's when Martin Luther had his experience with the living God. He met the living God for the first time, and he realized, everything in the Bible is true, and everything that the Catholic Church is not. It's not. Now, he did not ever dispute Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Protestant and Catholic is not the big issue, because Protestants also believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They just define it differently, but they also believe in it. So that's not one of the things he did away with. They actually received the first few things that were done in the early, I'll say, the five councils that were initially started in 324. 324 is when what's called the Nicene Council. That was one of the councils that Emperor Constantine ran, because he was the head of the church. He was not only Pontifex Maximus, high priest, he was also Imperator, the emperor of the Roman kingdom. And he designed for himself to be able to rule the church. And so Emperor Constantine, way back in 312, that's when he passed the Mulvian Bridge. That's the one thing you cannot do as a Roman emperor. You cannot pass over that river. And once you pass over, you are now conquering the capital city. Cannot do it. So, we will never conquer God's city. You never conquer it. You know why? Because you're part of it. You'll be part of it. You're going to be part of it. You will be the bride that is from heaven, that now cometh down from heaven, and now everything is ready for eternity to begin. Last thing before we get to that, white, great white throne judgment. Everybody here will maybe not be there, because you've already been judged. You've already been judged. You passed through all of this. So you may not be there. And if you were, it would only be to get your crown. Oh, it's one of my crowns. But that's not going to be, because that's later. So you actually are already ready. And God has some more surprises that I haven't shared, but interesting things that include and exclude people. Because those that are wicked will suffer. They will suffer because they did not believe in Jesus. And they'll have to answer, and so they'll be punished, and then not only judged, but punished. But we will be judged, but acquitted. We'll be judged and acquitted. Yahoo! Isn't that exciting? That's exciting to me, that we'll be acquitted because of Jesus. That's our only righteousness. Our only righteousness is Jesus, but that's the all you need. That's all God wanted, was just believe that I'm good. Just believe that I'm good. Just believe that I'm good. And that I did everything for you, and you didn't do anything, you didn't do anything, you didn't do anything. Yeah. How come? Because you weren't capable of doing anything perfect. Yeah, of course. How many know that you're not capable of doing anything? Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry, but that's it. And so the reason that the Father wants this good news for you is because you were the only ones that believed. You could be good if it wasn't you. You could be good if it wasn't you. That if it was Jesus in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, I imagine this in my own life. In these last days, I imagine I'm a zero, a nobody, a nothing. And that I'm totally content with that. I don't want to be anything. I don't want to know anything. I just want to know Jesus. And so, whatever that means, it doesn't mean anything to me, except it means I'm not going to be a big shot or important or something. It's just, you know, you just die and kick you over and boot. I really believe that. I believe that God doesn't want us to be ambitious for ourselves, but to be ambitious for Him.
Amen.
And so, therefore, as you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. And I don't mean by that you're going to receive all of this. It's all yours. But just enjoy it and don't have a view of yourself as being great and awesome. Because so many people in our own age have had that view that I'll be one of the faithful ones, or I'll be one of, you know, and it's kind of pride. And so wouldn't it be better just to be a nothing and let Jesus do it all,
amen,
right? Do it all, because He's funny. He's good.
Amen.
He's great. But only for those that actually believe that He's good and that He does everything for you. And I don't do anything. I love it. I love it. I'm made for that.
Amen.
Is anybody else made for that? You know, I'm just made for that. I just feel right at home because I didn't do anything. And if somebody says, well, thank you for that, don't thank me. Because I didn't do anything. I just simply read the book. I read the book. That's all I did. Read that book. That book is so awesome, so powerful, that I believe you are now living. I was referring this in my last sentence, and I'll quit. I believe this year, 2017, is something important, because it's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Amen. Wow.
And that is so powerful, because we're going back to the Philadelphia church wherein was no sin. There was no sin in the Philadelphia church.
Wow.
And only the Smyrna, the chair two, not these chairs, but other chairs. Smyrna did not have a particular sin also, because they suffered and 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 suffered 10 times. And because that's what brought about then this great Constantinian revolution when he crossed over the river. What brought it about was Christians have been suffering, and his mom, Helena, she was believed that Christians should rule and so on and so forth. And so he inaugurated that, and then he became the one that set all of it up for the Roman Catholic system to go for 1,000 years. So, did you know that our founding fathers, all without exception, they all believed that the church was purest in the first 300 years, that is 100, 200, 300, until 312, till that moment. And it said after that it degenerated. Now it already had been degenerating in the second century and third century. So we'll look at that later when we realize that the whole of church history has meaning. It's completely so powerful. So young people may not understand it, but you will understand it, how everything in church history has been the wrestling between doing it the worldly way and doing it the Lord's way. And so there has never been, even a Jewish church or a Protestant church or a Catholic church that hasn't been into the law. And even those that are powerful, like the Baptist church is big here, but in the world, it's small compared to other churches I could mention. In the world, it's not as big as it seemeth here. But here, at least they were totally dedicated to the freedom of the church. I'm mentioning this to you, you don't know why. I'm mentioning this to you because I've just written a paper that now went out for all the people here to understand, is that the church, a free church in a free state, a free church in a free state. We have never had that. We've never had it. It only the first few years did they have it, and then after that, it began to disappear. And by 1927, we discovered a document over in Fort Worth that means our church is free forever from paying tax. And we've only spent, lots of money fighting them. And so wouldn't it be fun if Jesus came back and the church was free somewhere in America? It'd be kind of fun. And wouldn't it be interesting that it was right here?
Amen.
Would it not be interesting that it's right here, that Texas is the place where this really took place? And so as I read the Baptist history, I know that they were big time into religious liberty for all, not just for Christians, for all. And they're the ones that carried it forward. Martin Luther didn't. Even though he didn't find any fault in that church, he did not see that Martin Luther was anything but a human being and a powerful one. But he wasn't just another person that just wrote what he read. And so this church history has actually built up to this day. And wouldn't it be fun when Jesus comes back that everything is rearranged? That everything is rearranged, that his church actually is not only this, but is ready to be this in these days. So, I thought you'd be interested in being able to sort out all the things that are being discussed right now, today, between now and eternity. Because eternity, oh my gosh, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. Did you know that we're going to be in a building that is 1,500 feet in the air?
Hallelujah.
Wow.
1,500 stadia. That's miles. I said whatever I said. Feet.
Miles.
I meant miles.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now, how many know airplanes only fly up like
7 miles?
Yeah, 6 or 7 miles.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow.
And you're at the top of the world. You're nothing. It's nothing like 1,500 miles. And not only that, it extends all the way across America, all the way up to Canada, all the way from here to there. That's only 1,500 miles. And not only that, the depth and the length and the breadth are all a cube. It's a complete cube of the Holy of Holies in the holy temple, and you'll be that bride.
Wow.
You'll be that bride.
Yeah.
Wow, we'll have a lot of room.
Yeah.
We'll have a lot of room in there. Jesus, where's your apartment? How many know that we'll all be close to Jesus?
Amen.
Because it's spiritual. It's spiritual.
You'll be right in the middle.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on down to my room. Do you have peanuts or something? All right. God is good.